AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Justice and Drew, along with Sam, taking your phone calls. Representative Nick Zerwas, comedian Brian Miller, joins us in studio. Congratulations to Dave, won the WWE tickets. We have more prizes to give away. We'll get to that in just a moment. We're also going to get to your phone calls. Take your phone calls on bump stocks. This has become the focal point. This is where we've landed. The use of bump stocks in this horrible Las Vegas massacre by Stephen Paddock has prompted, well, a lot of bipartisan support, and even the NRA coming out and speaking out about whether or not we should ban these. Should there be legislation in regards to it? Movement on legislation has already been drafted. So we'll give you all the details on that, and we will get to your phone calls and your thoughts, expanding upon a conversation that that we started right around this time on yesterday's show. First, though, we do have an amazing prize to give to you from Acme Comedy Club.
Right. We are doing a long-term promotion over the course of the next several weeks where you can register to win an office party of 25, up to 25 people at Acme Comedy Company. The way to win that, simple. Just go to Twin Cities News Talk. There's a link on the front page and just register. That's all you have to do. And encourage your office mates to register as well. But we are going to give away a four-pack of tickets to Acme as well. And the way we're going to do this week is Brian Miller.
That's me.
Comedian and movie aficionado he's got a little guessing game. He's got a little quiz for you, right? You're going to give out you've thought of an actor or actress, famous film performer who's got their start as a stand-up comedian.
Yes.
Right? And you're going to give out a clue.
Yep.
And we're going to have three clues over the course of the next hour. And
we'll start with the hard ones and we'll get a little easier. So.
Right. So the first clue is coming up in just a moment. And all you got to do is tweet or email. And if you tweet, make sure to use the hashtag TCNT because that's what we'll be looking for. Tweet or email your guess. And at the end of the show, we'll randomly draw from everybody who guessed correctly. So this is a famous actor or actress who got their start as a stand-up comedian, right?
Yes.
All right. What's the first clue?
The first clue. He starred as the father in a remake of a great Spencer Tracy comedy.
All right.
That is
That's
tough. Right.
That's the tricky one.
That is tough.
Okay.
All right.
And I think, by the way, so the people should know the price pack there, or the 25 tickets, the corporate party. I believe that's dinner and a show.
Oh yeah.
Acme does a big banquet, so it's like a big banquet style dinner, and it's pretty great. We've gone to the banquets together for the funniest person contest. We all get to sit together, and they just keep bringing more and more food out, and we all gorge ourselves.
Yeah, it's like the family style where they just bring out plates and plates of delicious food.
Yeah.
So you get to see a great comedy show afterwards.
Four tickets to Acme Comedy Club. What's the clue again?
The first clue. This actor starred as the father in a remake of a classic Spencer Tracy comedy.
So you can use the hashtag TCNT and you can email
@AndrewLee@iHeartMedia.com. And everybody who guesses correctly will be entered into a drawing at the end of the show for the four pack.
And for details about everything going on, you can go to TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com and also AcmeComedyCompany.com. All right. So let's get back to Politico. NRA bans bump stocks at its own firing range. The devices escaped regulation back in 2010. The devices designed to allow semi-automatic rifles to function like fully automatic rifles should be subject to additional regulations, according to the NRA in a written statement yesterday. Despite the fact the Obama administration approved the sale of bump fire stocks on at least two occasions, the NRA is calling on the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms to immediately review whether these devices comply with federal law. It is, according to the Politico article, and I agree, a highly unusual position for the NRA, which has long fought any restrictions on gun ownership, and the move could be strategic. New narrow regulation from the BATFE might be more acceptable to gun owners than legislation, which could go and cast a wider net. And you already have some legislation that they're looking at that has support on both sides. We want to get your thoughts and the thoughts of the roundtable on this issue of the bump stocks, 651-989-5855. Before we talk to the group, let's go and talk with Eric.
Okay, on the bump stock issue, most states, believe it or not, allow you to own machine guns if you pay, $200 tax stamp. So it will be probably one of those things you can buy with a tax stamp eventually. I actually called about another item, which is the amazement of Sheriff Lombardo that this guy could not have acted alone. When the fact of the matter is, everything except the bump stock, that guy could have just gone to Mills Fleet Farm and bought all at once. There's a whole bunch of conjecture that's missing here. The other part of this, of him checking out Chicago and Boston, I don't believe that's accurate at all.
Why not?
Anybody with a gun
Why not?
And wants to bring that many guns to
Eric.
Chicago or Boston isn't going to do it.
Why don't you believe the reports that he checked out hotel rooms? I mean, it's just facts. I mean, it's just like, you know, the data's there. The other, you know, they went and searched his name and they found that he'd rented out hotel rooms that happened to overlook other festivals.
I'm not quite sure that it's fact. Well, none of the news articles that I've seen have mentioned that it's fact. They said he might have.
Eric, I've actually seen the reports of the actual screenshots of his name registered in the hotel in Chicago. And to your other point about the speculation or Sheriff Lombardo, I think the reality of the situation is that we don't have all the facts. I imagine that we haven't been presented with all the facts. If the sheriff is saying he is under the opinion that he may not have been acting alone, then, you know, absence of being involved in that investigation, I'm certainly not willing to say. I can understand where you could speculate that over a long enough period of time he could procure all of these different items legally. But if the sheriff is saying we think that he may have not acted alone, then I trust that he's got information that we don't have.
Well, and I think the other thing...
I just don't think that they're putting out... It just makes no sense.
I don't think we have all the facts yet. That's what the reality is.
We don't.
Thanks for your call, Eric. Appreciate it.
And I think Eric's right. It doesn't make any sense. And I think we need to realize that, especially early on in an investigation... There are times and things and issues that just don't make sense, and certainly not in the moment, and not until all of the information is gathered, and the information that's been gathered is then shared with the public. I think it's very safe to assume that the sheriff and Las Vegas Metro PD, the ATF and the FBI know a ton of information that has not yet been shared with the general public.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's been a few photos.
I certainly hope so.
Yeah, I'm very much okay with that as they investigate and
I
look for other
hope
people.
So.
Yeah,
right.
Yep. And I think one thing that's, you know, a little bit deceiving or confusing is you have a lot of videos of the actual incident from people's cell phone cameras and stuff like that. And so people feel as though they have so much information, so much data. You're seeing all these new videos and all these new angles and different things. And then there's a few photos of inside the hotel that were supposedly leaked out. And so it's very easy for people to feel like they have so much information. There were early reports that there were video cameras set up both inside and outside of the hotel room. We obviously have not seen any of those videos. The ATF, in the hours following this incident, stretched through the days following this incident, the ATF would have retrieved every serial number off of that firearm and done complete traces to trace back from every single transaction back to manufacture of that firearm and given a complete forensic possession history of each of those guns. That entire place would have been swabbed for DNA, would have been dusted for fingerprints. None of that information has likely been processed to completeness yet, let alone analyzed or released to the public. His financial records are being completely line by line by a forensic audit team with the FBI.
Yeah, he worked for the IRS and the post office a number of years back as well, so there's got to be government records too.
Sure.
So, I mean, there's just so much going on, gathering and aggregating so much data and evidence on this individual that as much as we feel like we know so much or we've seen so much, it is literally just the tip of the iceberg for what authorities have been gathering and have not yet been able or willing to release. And so as tough as it is with all these situations, we need to just allow time for
patience.
And patience.
Gotta have some patience. For this, it's hard to do that.
For this investigation to play out and wrap up before trying to arbitrarily decide what does or does not fit into your preconceived narrative for how this played out.
We want to get to your phone calls. Brian Miller, we were talking about this before you got in off air, but where do you land on that? The gun control argument popped up this week and was talked about a lot. And then through the course of the week, as we get more facts, the bump stocks is really what everybody kind of zeroed in on, is that this was, if we were going to do something, this was something we could do. And I can understand why. It's directly related to this event, and there are arguments pro and con on whether or not it would have changed any of the dynamics of what took place that night. But where do you land on this item? It's an accessory. It's not an actual weapon. Do you support if they want to go and move towards banning something like a bump stock?
Yeah. I mean, it's, yeah. I'm fine with that. What, to Nick's point, I always recommend everybody read a great book. One of the best books I ever read by a guy named Dave Cullum called Columbine. He was a journalist who was working on site when the Columbine shooting happened. And like 10 years later, he goes back. And the gist of the book is he points out that like so much wrong information came out in the first few days that stuck in people's minds that when you read the book, you won't believe all the things that you think you know about Columbine that weren't true. And ever since reading that book, every time a big news story happens, I always do my best to not almost don't pay too much attention at the beginning because when those bad facts get lodged in your head, it's so hard to get them out when the real truth comes out a few weeks later.
And that's where a lot of conspiracy theories find their
absolutely.
They take a little nugget of information that came out in those first 5-6 hours and they run with it for months. Why hasn't anybody talked about this? Because they reported it, so it must have been true, and then they stopped reporting it. Where did it go? And that's what they use as the little kernel to spark a new conspiracy theory. Let's go to Wayne calling from North Branch. Go ahead.
Hey, I appreciate you taking my call. I have never fired a bump stock, but I have seen them fired. People don't understand that this is just an accessory. It does not actually make the weapon fire like a fully automatic weapon. They are wildly inaccurate.
Right.
When you operate one, you can't even utilize whatever sighting system you have. So if this shooter over in Las Vegas was actually using a bump stock, he was just spraying into the crowd.
And that's exactly what he was doing.
Yeah, and that's what they've been saying. And Rob Dore yesterday it pointed out, and there's no way to know this, but if you break it down, there are arguments to say that if he had been up there perched on a tripod with a different type of rifle that was more accurate, he could have potentially done more damage than he would have with the bump stock. But
we'll never know.
But that's where we've landed. I mean, look. In my opinion, when it comes to the bump stock, I'm okay. I would rather see the free market handle it. I would rather see the NRA step forward and ban it from their firing ranges. I would rather see independent manufacturers go and do their own measures to maybe stop selling them than I would want to see any legislation. I don't like the idea of putting forward legislation that is simply there to provide the illusion of safety and security.
Right.
Because that's all that it would do.
Right.
Banning a bump stock and putting legislation and outlawing it would just be a symbolic measure to make us feel better that we did something.
But from an admittedly cynical political perspective, right? If you concede the bump stock legislation, perhaps that pumps the brakes on other more restrictive legislation that they would want to do. And that's a cynical political perspective, and I admit that.
Now, here's what I get frustrated on the gun control argument, is if somebody goes, let's ban bump stocks, and then the anti-gun control people say, that's not really doing anything, why even bother? And then if you propose anything further than that, they go, well, that's vast overreach. Right. It's like, you can't make both of those arguments at the same time.
Eric, calling from Chicago, go ahead.
Hey, I just want to comment real quickly on the about three calls ago. There was a guy talking about the fact that he'd booked other hotel rooms, but it wasn't really confirmed. It's absolutely confirmed, and the guy was doing the same thing that the 9/11 hijackers did. He was doing dry runs. He was rehearsing what he was going to do when he got to his final. When he finally got to the man,
certainly appears that way.
Yeah,
it's that simple.
Yeah, and again, that leads back to what was the. You know, without, it's so funny. If you just put on top of it, because we don't know, if you just put on top of it terrorism, you're done. There's no more speculation. We all just go,
sure.
We move on to the next aspect of this and we don't talk about it anymore because we've handled it. But without that, you do have an individual that was meticulous, potentially like the 9/11 hijackers, and we have a hard time getting to a place where we go, he may not have had a motive, he just decided he wanted to take human life, and this was something that he decided to do. And without that rationale, it's very, very hard to work through.
Yeah, I mean, I know there's been some reports of a potential escape plan, but it's still possible that this was just the most spectacular suicide that he could have possibly come up with, knowing that it was going to end the way it did. 651-989-5855. We've got a few more people that want to call and chime in on this during the Friday Roundtable. And Brian Miller is going to give you your second clue.
Yes.
As to the famous actor or actress that was formerly a stand-up comedian. And if you correctly guess who he's referring to, you can win a four-pack of tickets to Acme Comedy Company.
Justice.
Help change the world and have a little fun along the way. This year's All In for Africa Charity Poker Tournament is on Saturday, October 28th at 10:30 a.m. Proceeds benefit the Against Malaria Foundation. For more details about the event, go to TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com, keyword events.
When is that?
That is on October 28th.
I'll be playing in it.
Go see Drew.
Yeah, come see me.
I always thought you were pro-malaria.
No, no.
I thought I've heard you say in the break room, God, I love malaria.
Well, I've tried it as a weight loss effort. It didn't work very well.
It didn't work?
No. That's why I did Nutrimost.
Nice plug. Yes.
Justice and Drew, Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. We're going to be speaking with Representative Tom Emmer here. He's got a few minutes to spend with us. Everybody on hold, do not go anywhere. We'll get back to your phone calls coming up. A lot of people want to weigh in on the bump stocks in the wake of the horrible tragedy that took place in Las Vegas last weekend. Real quick, though, we've got to remind you, Justice and Drew, along with Acme Comedy Company, downtown Minneapolis, they want to give you and your office something special for the holidays. You can register to win a holiday office party at Acme Comedy Company. All you got to do is go to TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com and go to the link, and you can register there right online for a party, an office party at Acme Comedy Company.
Yep, up to 25 people. I will tweet out a link to using the hashtag TCNT. It's an amazing place to have your company banquet, your office parties, whatever it is, food and a great comedy show. But right now, you can win a four-pack of tickets to Acme if you can correctly guess which famous actor or actress Brian Miller is thinking of. He's going to give you his second clue right now, and you have to tweet your answer using the hashtag TCNT or email your answer to AndrewLee@iHeartMedia.com. AndrewLee@iHeartMedia.com, and we'll do a random drawing of everybody who gets it correctly. Brian, what's the second clue?
Here's the second clue. Second clue is, it'll take more than a wall to stop this amigo.
Good.
Oh, by the way,
what was it? Give the first clue.
Oh, the first clue. This actor starred as the father in a remake of a classic Spencer Tracy comedy. Mm-hmm. Okay. Second clue. Mm-hmm. It'll take more than a wall to stop this amigo.
Oh,
yeah, he's got it now. if your office is more than 25 people, I was talking to the manager and they said, you can add on people. If you got 30 people, you can go ahead and pay for the other five. So it's not limited to your 25, but for 25, free dinner and show.
And if you're interested in booking your own office party, if you do not win, you can go to acmecomedycompany.com. Joining us on the phone right now, Representative Tom Emmer. Good morning, sir. Thanks for taking a few minutes out this morning and joining us. Always great to hear from you.
Hey, thanks, John. And by the way, I know who he's thinking of. It's Christy McNichol.
That is a weird bull. I like that.
Yeah.
We won't go into it. I know that's who you're thinking of, Brian.
Representative Emmer, we want to get to your pro-mining legislation. Before we do, really quick, I wanted to get your thoughts on. I know there was some reports that came out yesterday that some House Democrats may have hopped on board or were considering hopping on board the GOP tax plan. Can you comment on that?
I think you're going to see this more and more. I'm not familiar with the specific report, John, but I know that as this thing picks up momentum, look, tax reform really is not a Republican or a Democrat issue, even though it seems that when Republicans are the ones that are doing this, they're always taking the lead, while under the Obama administration, it seemed like we were being asked to contribute more and more and more, and the IRS was just getting bigger and bigger and more out of control. That's not popular with the American people. And what the Republican plan is starting to pare that down and put people back in charge of their own opportunities. And I think you'll see more Democrats, especially those that aren't on the edge. And granted, there's a lot of them that have pushed out to that extreme edge. But there are still many that they would refer to as blue dog Democrats that will jump on board with this thing as it starts to pick up momentum.
Out of this, comes out of the SC Times. Twin Metals Minnesota could get its mineral licenses back and resume exploration in the Superior National Forest if a new bill from you becomes law. This is the Miner Act. Give us some details on this, sir.
Well, again, it's funny because those that oppose it are pushing back on college campuses, saying, you know, tell Tom Emmert to stop promoting mining in the Boundary Waters canoe area. What we're dealing with, John, it has nothing to do with the Boundary Waters canoe area. There is no exploration or mine that can ever occur within the Boundary Waters. In fact, there's even a buffer that was established by the government around the Boundary Waters, and it can't happen in there. But inside the Superior National Forest and outside of the buffer area and the Boundary Waters canoe area, we are allowed to explore the possibility of logging, of mining. These, according to the federal government, are desirable uses within the Superior National Forest. And obviously, Minnesota's Iron Range was built on mining. What we're trying to do, the Obama administration last December, on its way out the door, it canceled two leases which had been renewed twice in the last 50 years. These are mineral leases that, again, just allow whoever holds the mineral lease to explore whether or not they could mine what is estimated to be one of the largest precious mineral finds in the world. It really kind of plays into our national security as well, gentlemen, because the precious metals we're talking about are all these things that you find in cell phones and very specialized technologies. What the Obama administration did is they not only they refused to renew those leases, which, again, had been renewed automatically. They issued an opinion that tortured opinion in my from my perspective, that said the Secretary of the Interior now has discretion whether or not to renew these leases. So they refused to renew them. Twin Metals, which is currently the holder of the leases in question, then sued the federal government for failing to honor its obligation. At the same time, in the Department of Agriculture, the U.S. Department of Forestry started a process to withdraw some 235,000 acres from any potential exploration and use in the Superior National Forest forever. And because of the way the map is designed, gentlemen, it's not going to be 235,000. It actually will permanently withdraw over 400, closer to 425,000 acres. This is important for many reasons. And the people who oppose this, those that are listening, need to understand there has been no mine proposed. The opponents claim this it's going to be a sulfide mine because it's copper and nickel. You don't even know what it is. All we are saying is that folks need to be able to explore whether or not they can mine in an environmentally safe manner. If they can ever prove it, if they ever propose a mine, they're going to have to go through local, state, and federal environmental review processes, which can take, in PolyMet's case, which is a project that is about ready to go, it took over a decade. They have to establish they could do it in a responsible way that will not permanently injure the environment. And by the way, guys, if someone somewhere someday can prove that with an actual proposed mine, Minnesota deserves to have the economic prosperity and development that would come with that. You shouldn't eliminate it forever. So what we've done is we filed a bill to reverse what the Obama administration did on the way out. People also need to know how important this is for Minnesota. You got Representative Zerwas there, and he can probably tell you if these what equates to over 400,000 acres are forever pulled out of the opportunity for use, for economic development use, it's going to affect our Minnesota schools trust money dramatically.
And I think one of the things you hit on there that's really important is it's not just about mining this land. It's about exploring whether you even can mine this land and taking away that opportunity. Real quick, before we run out of time, obviously, you know, the terrible tragedy, the terrible news coming out of Las Vegas this week and the subsequent conversations that have come out of it, there's a lot of people that are considering legislation on this bump stock device. Have you looked at any of that, and do you have any thoughts on that? I know it's very early, and it's really a lot of talk right now, and not necessarily, you know, anything that's been put in front of you. But curious if you've got any comments on that.
All I would say is, first, we need to focus on the families, the people, the tragedy that occurred. We need to pray for those folks. We need to always keep them in mind, and then we've got to try and separate that very emotional issue from what is really the thing that we've got to deal with. You know, politicians who want to drive fear and get people to see them as their savior are going to say, my God, outlaw this and do that and regulate this. Folks, the real issue here is it has nothing to do with the instruments that are used. It has to do with something called mental health in this country. You have people that are, we've got to figure out how to identify these folks earlier. And we've got to figure out how to start treating the real issue, which is a mental health issue. Because you could outlaw the bump stocks and the guns. You could outlaw cars, because some of these crazy people are using cars and driving them into people. You can outlaw any, maybe it'll be serrated knives. And I don't mean to make light of the fact that this guy used this weapon, but I'm trying to remind us, the issue is mental health. Anyone that would ever do something like this has serious, deep-seated mental health issues. We got to figure out how to start identifying these people early so we can get them treatment before these tragedies occur.
Representative Tom Emmer, as always, we appreciate the time this morning, sir, and the comments. We look forward to talking to you again next week.
Have a great fall weekend, guys.
Take care. Thank you.
651-989-5855. Let's get right back to the phones, and we'll talk with Brad in Prior Lake. Good morning, Brad. Welcome to Justice and Drew, Twin Cities News Talk. What are your thoughts, and thanks for holding on.
Hi. Well, the problem I have with this banning the bump stock or any accessory is that you're inviting the camel's nose under the tent. You know, it's you're jumping onto the slippery slope, because every time in the past pro-gun side's compromised with the anti-gun side, you know, we always give, they always take, and we never get anything in return. And it's just a constant erosion of our Second Amendment rights.
Well, and Brad, I it's a valid argument, I would say, because and as I've mentioned before, I prefer any ban on a bump stock be done through either the NRA, where they're used, and through those that are selling it. That being said, when it comes to the slippery slope and concessions being made, there is an argument to be said. You need to take every issue one step at a time. You can argue that you may be providing a pathway for another argument to be presented, but at the same time, sometimes you do need to do the right thing, and then if that other argument is presented, then you can go and fight that particular battle. It's a touchy one.
But the slippery slope argument is like, well, first you say we can only drive 70 on the interstate. Pretty soon you're going to say we can only go 3 miles an hour. It's like, you could basically take that with any law.
Sure, sure. And we've seen the slippery slope happen in other circumstances. And the gun one and the gun issue is an incredibly sensitive one. And we've seen other administrations try to go further when it comes to gun restrictions, obviously well beyond the accessory. I get the concern of people that think even an accessory ban would lead to the potential of an argument for something further they don't want to see that could potentially remove a gun that they own or give them the ability to purchase one.
651-989-5855 is the phone number. Several people want to comment on this issue. We're going to take a quick break, come back with Brian Miller's third clue for our Acme giveaway. The third clue for the famous actor or actress got their start as a stand-up comedian. A lot of people got it right so far.
Ooh, nice.
A lot of people got it wrong, too.
Yeah, an intriguing wrong answer, too.
That's right.
And remember, you can go to TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com to register to win an office holiday party at Acme Comedy Company. Again, just go to TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com.
Justice.
Ooh.
Visit the Twin Cities News Talk contest page to enter to win screening passes to see Thank You for Your Service, starring Miles Teller and Amy Schumer. Win your passes today at TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com. Keyword, contest.
What's going on?
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Justice and Drew, along with Sam. Use that hashtag TCNT on Twitter if you want to try to guess the clues that comedian Brian Miller has been giving out. Your chance to win Acme Comedy Club tickets. And remember, you can register to book your own office party. Be the hero in your office at Acme Comedy Company by going to acmecomedycompany.com or TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com to get yourself registered.
Yeah, the clue is we're looking for a famous actor or actress who got their start in stand-up comedy. You've given out two clues already. Whoever guesses, or all the people that correctly guess it using the hashtag TCNT or emailing it to AndrewLee@iHeartMedia.com are going to be into a drawing at the end of the show for those tickets. Go ahead and give out your first two clues, and then let us get that third clue.
And I love
give out the answer at the end of the show.
I love that the first clue kind of has two answers, and I'm impressed with people who got guessed the wrong answer, which was the harder one.
Yeah.
Three clues. First off, he starred as the father in the remake of a classic Spencer Tracy comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Keyword there, perhaps.
Maybe.
The second one, it's going to take more than a wall to stop this amigo.
Love that one.
And the third clue, he is either wild or crazy.
All right. Yeah, throw your guesses using the hashtag TCNT up on Twitter or email it to AndrewLee@iHeartMedia.com. I'm compiling everybody who gets the right answer into a little spreadsheet, and I'll do a random drawing there at the end.
Is it an Excel?
Yes.
Fancy.
Because they put the numbers on the side, and then I can use the random number generator to pick the winner.
Yeah. And you know what then people can do? They can take their office party to see me and Nate Apshire on New Year's weekend.
Week
of New Year's. You're going to be there.
I'm going to be there.
It's going to be fun.
John's going to be there.
I'm going to be there.
Awesome.
Can I come?
Yeah.
Well, you're going to be there, right? Sam, you're going to be there?
Heck yeah.
All right. Oh, it's going to be a good New Year's.
Can I please come?
Sure.
Just bring ID.
I mean, you can also purchase a ticket for the same night. Those are available to you.
Well, I guess I'll do something else then.
How about this? Let's make a compromise. Your wife can come.
Can she bring me as her plus one?
We do very
Jackson?
Much enjoy your wife's company.
Yeah, your wife is a delight.
Yeah, that's great. Can I come?
I mean, it's an event that anyone can go to.
If you bring your wife, she can come.
Out of the New York Times, the National Rifle Association on Thursday endorsed tighter restrictions on devices that allow a rifle to fire bullets as fast as a machine gun, a rare, if small, step for a group that for years has opposed any new gun controls. Let's get right back to your phone calls, and we'll start off with Jeff in Cocado. Good morning, Jeff. Thank you for holding on, and welcome to Justice and Drew. Hello, Jeff.
Jeff, you there?
Jeff!
We lost Jeff.
All right, let's go to Tim in St. Michael. Good morning, Tim.
Call you Tim.
Yeah, good morning. Hey, I got some definitions and some explanation that might clarify.
All right.
There's a lot of misconception on what this device actually does.
Okay.
The term semi-automatic is defined as the trigger has to be reset with every fire.
Okay.
So basically you have to pull the trigger on every fire.
Move through the facts quickly. We have other calls.
Yep.
Make this call more automatic.
So,
put a bump stock on your call.
When they test that in a lab, to test the rate of fire, they can pull the trigger only travels, let's say, a quarter inch. Okay. So your rate of fire can be quite fast. Okay. What this device is it's they allow it because the sear engages every time, but the travel that it does is longer than what they can produce in the lab. So it's meeting the criteria is why it's still a semi-automatic weapon.
Okay, where do you land on potentially banning this? And the NRA seemingly in support of measures to remove these.
Okay. I don't care either way because I don't use them. I'm a competitive shooter. And I really don't care either way because it's like taping a banana to the end of your rifle. It doesn't do you a damn bit of good.
All right. Okay.
But
All right.
It's doing,
All right.
Oh, thanks, Tim. Appreciate it.
All right, there you go.
I'm pretty sure they wouldn't sell them if they were, like, taping a banana to the end of your rifle. Well, I'm going to throw that out there.
To be fair, I've already introduced a bill to ban to...
Freudian!
Oh! To ban bananas taped to end of rifle.
Well, what about plantains?
I'm against that. Nope. Wrong.
Okay, all right.
Paul in Burnsville.
Good morning, Paul.
Hello. Plantains are fake news anyway.
Good morning, Paul. What's your comment? Welcome to Twin Cities News Talk.
My comment is, you've had Mark Stein on a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
He advanced the theory this morning, the first time I heard it, that the shooter was actually a contract shooter, that he was a hired gun. And
okay, all right. Now, is this a conspiracy theory, Paul?
But it is Mark Stein that apparently presented it, so I'm willing to give it a benefit of the doubt just to hear it through because it's Mark Stein.
Mark Stein advanced an idea that somebody hired this guy?
He advanced the idea that somebody hired, he's a contract killer that somebody hired.
Who?
And then that leads to who, right? And
right.
And then that also strikes at the idea there was a large amount of money he had that he seemed to be able to move around for different reasons.
All right, well, now we have to do digging to see if Mark Stein actually advanced that particular theory, because I have a hard time believing that Mark Stein would advance a theory like that.
Yeah,
it's very open-ended.
It is, yeah, it is.
You might as well, like, maybe aliens told him to do it.
Yeah. Linda, calling from Owatonna. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, guys. I have two comments. As far as the... when evil people want to shoot people, they're going to get the stuff no matter what kind of laws you have. And enforcing what we have is the best we can do, but evil people are going to do what they want. But I do have a problem with them, everybody's mental illness, because these people that do these shootings, they plan and plot. They're not mental ill. And I'm tired of people using the excuse mental ill just so that it doesn't sound, I guess, as evil as it really is.
I get what you're saying, and it makes me a little uncomfortable, too, because what I don't want to do is spread this stigma that everybody who's got a mental illness is some sort of public safety risk.
Right.
You know, there are millions of people out there with varying degrees of things that are classified as a mental illness or a mental disorder of some sort that get through day-to-day life just fine. They cope, they manage, they hold down jobs, they're wonderful, productive members of society.
Some people hold down jobs and just go home,
right,
retreat to their basement and watch Star Wars and NASCAR.
It's that old logic argument.
Or do stand-up comedy.
It's that old exercise when you take like your first logic class. It's like, just because all of the people who commit this act are mentally ill doesn't mean that all people who are mentally ill are at risk of committing this act.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, and I think we need to also understand what in a media narrative or a societal narrative we might ascribe to mental illness versus the legal standard for mental illness when it comes to a defense of this type of action. I mean, clearly, the shooter's actions led you to believe that he understood that what he was about to engage in was wrong and knowing right from wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you look at a legal definition of mental illness, whether it could be used as a defense, there are signs that, you know, clearly he wasn't at that threshold. What he knew he was doing, he knew it was wrong, he knew it was against the law, he knew it was immoral, and went forward anyway.
Well, and you gotta, looking at the facts of what we know so far, based off of what he did in Las Vegas and what it took to get him to that point and how meticulous he was, it really isn't all that surprising that he was able to hide this from everybody around him. You know, I mean, obviously, this guy, who knows what his mental state was, but to the point of identifying individuals like this earlier, you know, you got a guy who did something like this and went through all the effort that he did and spent numerous days probably bringing up, you know, suitcase. They say they had like, he had like, what, 12 different suitcases that he brought up to the room over the course of the days he was there.
You could totally do that, though, and no one
at
the hotel would notice.
Of course.
That's what I've heard people like, how did he get all those guns in there? It's like, I stay in a million hotels. If you're not bothering anybody and you're going in the side door and you're bringing up your suitcase, people aren't. You know, as long as you're not doing anything obviously weird, no one's paying attention.
One of our listeners on Twitter pointed out, Narn fan on Twitter, a frequent commenter using the hashtag TCNT, says, I think the Stein comment, the Mark Stein comment, was just that the level of professionalism the guy displayed.
There we go.
appeared as if it were somebody who perhaps was a contract killer.
We don't.
That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot more sense.
It's just talking about the meticulousness,
the similarity of style, as it were, versus right. the probability of
not
that
somebody
being the
hired
case.
Him to go do this.
And we rarely look. You got a guy who was. I mean, he had some people around him, but was kind of keeping off the grid and a low profile. I think we forget about how little we actually pay attention to people around us.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I was riding yesterday, my bike went on a trail, and there was a bunch of high schoolers on the trail. I had to go off. There was like 20 of them. I'm heading right for them. And I had to go off the trail to avoid them because none of them were looking up. They were all engaged in their own conversations and they weren't even paying attention.
You don't exist as an old man to young teenagers.
I had a bright red shirt on. I was playing my music very loud in my headphones. They shouldn't have seen me.
You do not exist.
Spoken as a guy who likes to enjoy his recreational glaucoma medication sometimes when he's on the road. Nobody in hotels is paying that much attention.
Let's talk to Susan. Good morning, Susan. Thank you for holding on, and welcome to Twin Cities News Talk.
Hi. My point is similar to one a previous caller made. Everybody talks about mental illness when something like this happens. And I just want you guys to know, back in the 80s, the FBI conducted a study at Quantico. There was a registered nurse at the head of the study, and she was studying serial killers. She was a psychiatric nurse, and at the end of the study, she said, "We're supposed to say these are madmen, but my conclusion is they are not crazy. They like what they're doing.
Mm, yeah.
They're evil."
And nobody
wants to talk about that.
Yeah.
We live in a country where a million people a year are killed with impunity, with the government backing in the womb, and everyone's shocked when something like this happens?
Right. And remember, when you have a serial killer... and there may even be one. There's a story that came out today about they believe that in North Carolina they're dealing with a serial killer right now. But when we have circumstances of a serial killer, we just put serial killer label on them and then we leave it. And then when we catch them, the threat is over. You know, and so we're not thinking that in these terms because this is so unprecedented and such a singular event. But it could potentially be just that simple.
Yeah, I thought you mentioned that to me off air, and I thought that's an interesting way of thinking about it because when you think terrorism or something, you try to ascribe these like complex secondary motives.
Right.
But we don't do that with serial killers. You don't say, why did Ted Bundy do that politically?
Right. 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 Exactly. Richard Ramirez. Why exactly. did he do? You know, what was his motivation?
Goes back again to how our minds work. Like all the movies we've seen, how much influence mm-hmm. all those movies and stories that we've consumed have on the way we perceive world events. We think of serial killers. We think they must be like, oh, they're Hannibal Lecter. They're these geniuses.
They're always brilliant, right? It's never some dope who's just like opportunistically kidnapping runways. Or
something. They're just evil dopes most of the time. Yeah.
And one of the most interesting comments that I've seen so far was a guy who'd written a bunch of crime novels that basically kind of laid out what he thought of this individual based off of just what we've heard so far. And his being, for lack of a better term, independently wealthy, was just a professional gambler, didn't have close friends, was a recluse, was not nice to the people around him in his neighborhood, but was quiet. And the fact of the way that he perpetuated this horrible act, being so distant from everybody.
Yeah.
Putting himself up away from everybody where he didn't see faces. He just saw, just his targets laid out in front of him from 32 stories up could potentially, speak a lot into the mindset of that individual.
That's interesting.
Last call on this, Rick from Glencoe. Go ahead.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking people need to start doing is a little pushback on this. They want to dig into everyone's background now and see what they're thinking. And, you better guard your privacy in that area, too, because that's...
Well, I'm not planning on going out and committing a horrible atrocity, so I'm not too worried about that, And look, of course people are going to dig into the background. We want to know why he did it. That's natural. That's human. We want to try to figure out and understand why he did it. And it may end up just being because he was twisted and evil and broken.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very unsatisfying conclusion. But it may not be more than that.
I think what he might have been driving at was this idea of looking at people who may be mentally ill and then digging too deep into somebody who doesn't warrant being digging, that doesn't warrant having their background checked simply because somebody said, he's our weirdo, that kind of thing.
All right, we are going to wrap up our Acme ticket giveaway. Earlier in the show, Brian Miller had given out three clues as to a famous actor or actress got their start as a stand-up comedian. Go ahead and recap your clues real quick.
Clues were he starred as the father in a remake of a classic Spencer Tracy comedy. It'll take more than a wall to stop this amigo. And he is wild and or crazy.
Now we have 50-something, like 55 people correctly email or tweet in the correct answer. I put them all in a little spreadsheet, assigned them all a number, did the random number generator, and congratulations to Colleen. Colleen has won the four-pack of tickets. Now, what was the... Nick, do you know the answer?
I think so.
Yeah? Because you didn't at first. You were working on it. I know because I helped Brian come up with it.
Well, clue number two made me think I knew. And then clue number three makes me really think I know. Is it Steve Martin?
Yes, that is the answer. And by the way, huge props to everybody who guessed Bernie Mac for the remake of Guess Who, based on Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, also starring Spencer Tracy.
Yep.
That's a real deep cut. I was trying to be a little more obvious than that, but that's a good guess.
That was a good guess. So congratulations to Colleen. Colleen, call in 651-989-5855 and get Sam all your information so you can pick up those tickets.
Remember to go to TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com, TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com, and you can get registered for your office holiday party at Acme Comedy Company.
And we will do another giveaway with Brian Miller, the same contest every Friday now for the next several weeks. So plan ahead.
See you next week. We'll do it again.
Good job today, guys.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
Bye.
The best part of waking up is knowing Hillary lost to Trump.
Good. I mean, really good. I'm Chris Addison here.